This meeting is now being recorded.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I started speaking before I asked Yvette to record. I apologize. As I said, I'm on the road, and I was hoping to be somewhere stable in time for the call, and DC traffic prevented me from doing that. So what I was saying for the recording is today's subject for our call will be to comment on a revised set of drafts and notes that were the result of conversations that we had in Hyderabad, either through the formal session or informally. Members of our work group and members of the plenary, the larger CCWG, had come to me privately to discuss some concerns. And so based on those conversations and notes, I took the liberty of creating a second draft. It's substantially different from the first. It takes out issues that seem to raise red flags in terms of causation for removal. And it's more, I would say it's more of an umbrella-type document without binding any of the SOACs to listing any type of causes or setting any sort of expectation that might lead to a charge for cause to remove a board member, which was a real stumbling block for many who had seen our first draft. So what I wanted to do today is just go through it, explain where the changes are, and I'll ask Yvette to take some good notes, and then based on the feedback from here, we'll go on to a third draft. I was in the leadership meeting yesterday for the CCWG, and if we are to stay on track to get our report out in the first wave of reports, then our report is due to the CCWG on January 18th. So assuming that we have a document that we think is reasonably okay, I was then going to start to actually write the report in the template that's been recommended by the required by the CCWG, which basically, if you recall, talks about the state of play, our recommendations, and how they comport with the recommendations in Workstream 1. Does anybody have any questions or comments? I can't see the chat at the moment, so I'm going to ask you to audibly raise your hand. Okay, if there's no questions, I guess we'll get right down to the draft. So what I did was, based on the feedback we got, is I consolidated the comments. I'm sorry, now I'm hearing myself on the chat. Could somebody block my mic? I mean, or block my speaker somehow. I'm sorry. Now I'm hearing an echo from Adobe.
Lori, this is Yvette. I will go ahead and work on that and see what I can do. I don't want to block it too much because we might mute you all together, but I'm going to go ahead and see what I can do to minimize that echo.
All right. Or what I could do is I could call back in just on the audio, because it seems like my mobile phone and the Adobe application are fighting with each other.
Well, actually, if you could just mute your computer speakers, it should stop the echo. I don't know if you have the ability to do that. But if there's a way to just mute those computers. Okay.
No, what I'll do is I'll stay on the call. And let me get back into the whole application. I'm sorry. I think that will stop the problem because I won't connect at all audibly to Adobe. So just give me 1 minute.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Laura. You're loud and clear.
Great. Okay. I'm in the room, and I can only hear myself once, so all is good. Okay. I apologize. Okay, so let's go to the draft. Yvette, do you have that up in the chat?
Yes, draft is on screen.
Okay. All right, so what I did is I consolidated the draft so that not to differentiate between board seats that are non-com board seats and non-com and board seats that are SOA board seats. Because even though there's two streams of selection and two streams of removal, there would still be the same process where an SOAC or a designee, an empowered, a designated party were to make a motion to remove a board member. So it would be the same process because the designated person would be an SOAC. So we got rid of that bifurcation. And I changed some of the wording based, again, on concerns for cause. So now the guidelines would read as follows. For Part 1, for all board seats, petitions for removal may be for any reason rather than cause and should be truthful, be in writing, contain sufficient detail to verify facts if verifiable facts are asserted, supply supporting evidence if available, include references to applicable bylaws and or procedures if the assertion is that a specific bylaw or procedure has been breached, be respectful and professional in tone. Moving on, SOAC shall develop procedures for consideration of board removal notices to include reasonable timeframes for investigation if the SOAC deems that an investigation is required, a period of review by the entire membership of the SOAC, that should be membership, not members, that's a typo, consistent and transparent voting method for accepting or rejecting a petition, procedure for providing notice to other SOACs of the pending petition. We have a question remaining from our first set of questions is, should the group recommend a standard form that all communities must use to raise the issue of board removal of the respected body, either the specific SOAC who appointed the member or the decisional participant in the case of a non-com appointee. So that's where we are today based on the feedback, as I said, that I've received the last 3 weeks, and I'm very interested to hear people's reaction to this new set. Do we have hands?
Alan, I've got my hand up. I'm the only one so far.
Okay, Alan. Thank you. Take it away.
This looks pretty good. It's the first time I've looked through it, so clearly we have to go through it carefully. Only two comments. Number one, in section number one, I think we have to use the words in good faith somewhere. Truthful is not quite the same as making assertions in good faith. That's my gut feeling, because the whole issue of indemnification is conditioned on doing it in good faith. So I think we have to use the words, even if we're not really in a position to define them carefully. The second thing is the period of review by the members of the SOAC. We have an interesting issue in that for the SOs, the council is the deliberative body, but the SO itself is a wider group than that. So we may want to say council. I don't know. I'd have to look at the bylaws and see how the SO is referred to in other things. Is it really the SO that's given the decision? And it's up to the SO to decide if its council is doing the job. We may have been pretty sloppy in the overall CCWG, and the bylaws may not be definitive like that, but I think we need to make sure that we're matching whatever the deliberative body is that's making the decision. And in reality, I suspect it's the councils of the associated organizations. In the case of the CCNSO, it's actually a bifurcated one that the council makes a decision and the larger SO can override. I don't know about the ASO and the GNSO. I don't think there's even a provision for the larger GNSO to override the council. So whatever we put here just has to match the reality of how the process works. and
right.
Some...
So I agree. We can check the bylaws. We could also choose words like deliberative body, or final decision making body, or some kind of recognition that there's a bottom, you know, a bottom up, but there is a larger issue. You know,
yeah,
that
well,
we understand that everybody's different.
Yeah, I suspect we were not particularly careful in drafting all of the empowered community words associated with SOs. So whatever the words are we use there, we should be using the same ones here.
Okay, I agree. So I'm going to put that in my notes. Yeah.
In retrospect, thinking about it, I think we may not have been very specific in those cases, but that's up to the representatives of those bodies to make sure that we're doing it right, I guess.
Yes, I understand. So I think that would be part of when we check and when I write the report to make sure that all of our nomenclature, and I apologize for the ambient noise here, that all of the nomenclature marries up to whatever was in that Workstream 1 report and in the bylaws, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the bylaws are curious in that they talk about the advisory committees, which are comparable in most cases to the councils, but in the case of SOs, talk about the SO itself, so... we're starting in an interesting world. Anyway, this looks really good, though.
Oh, good. I'm glad that we're getting that kind of feedback. I can now see the chat again. And to Aubrey's point, no, I am not sitting in a car. I pulled off the road. I found a McDonald's, and I tried to get as connected as I could be because metropolitan area traffic at this time of day is horrible, and I didn't time it, and I apologize. Getting back to use of the word good faith somewhere, I see the point that you're making, but on the other side of this, I would imagine that were all these procedures followed, that is the presumption of the good faith itself. But if you think it's for clarity, we should put it somewhere. We could say be truthful and in good faith, or be in good faith, be truthful. How would you draft that?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
if Sam were on the call, I'd ask her where to put the words, because I don't much care. But I think the phrase probably should be there. I'm not adamant about it, but I suspect, given why this work group exists, I suspect it should be there.
So maybe this. How does the group feel about this? For all board seats, petitions for removal may be for any reason and must be in good faith. And then go through all these other things or something like that. Instead of putting it in the list of stuff, put it in A. Maybe in good faith, you know, maybe for any reason, provided it's in good faith or something like that.
Yeah, I suspect. Cheryl says that works.
Okay. I mean, I can play around with it, but I think putting it in A, that's probably a better fit for what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it captures the words, and we can always move them.
Yeah, exactly. as I said, and I want to get started on writing the actual report, but I didn't want to do it until we really understood that we had at least the bones that we can all agree with, and then if we have to fine-tune it, we go ahead and fine-tune it. But I wanted to get this part done before everybody breaks for Christmas. I thought that was really important. And then I can always... circulate the report just to the list, and you guys can look at it at your leisure before whenever our next call is. I mean, after Christmas, our next call after Christmas, not before Christmas.
Yeah.
Does anybody have? Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. In point number two, since no one else has their hand up, C and D, I suspect don't belong here because if they belong anywhere, they belong in the more general rules of how to exercise any of the powers. You know, for instance, I don't know if HAC and SO will vote or may have some other methodology, and it's not up to us to tell them whether they in fact vote or use consensus or whatever they use.
So I'm wondering if we took out voting and say consistent and transparent method for accepting it or rejecting a petition, or you think this shouldn't be here at all?
I don't think it should be there. For instance, if the particular group you know, decides that, that it will do all things by a secret ballot. I'm not sure a secret ballot is transparent.
Well, I think the
But that's a decision internal to the group.
Right, but what I'm trying to avoid here, what my thinking is, and just based on what other people have said to me, is we also don't want a lot of backroom maneuvering in this. We want it to be as open as possible, you know, if that's realistic. It may not be realistic because this is ICANN,
yeah.
But I think it's important to at least say that there, it's an open, you know, it's an open process in some manner. I don't know how to articulate it any better than that.
You can, again, no one else is putting their hand up, so I'll keep talking.
Okay.
You can certainly say consistent, or rather, you know, open and transparent, as consistent with the, you know, the rules of the organization or something like that.
All right. I'm going to think about that one because I get your point. But at the same time, I feel like it's probably a good idea to say if these are going to be good faith procedures, however the procedure works, that it's something that has buy-in from the entire SOAC. You can't have, like, rogue SOAC leaders just decide, okay, we don't like someone, they're gone. That's what I'm trying to prevent.
Well,
that
but I'm... I mean, hopefully we're not rejecting budgets based on similar personalities either. So.
Okay. All right. I understand the point. And we'll think about it from a drafting perspective. But and you feel the same way about D?
Well, again, all of the empowered community actions have a requirement to work with the other ACs and SOs or the other parts of the empowered community. We've been pretty lackadaisical about actually putting together processes to decide how we do all of that, but they all have a requirement for invoking the other ones. And this one is unique in that we don't necessarily need a vote from the other ones to agree if we're removing a single ACSO director, but we still have an obligation to inform and discuss, similar to the other ones.
Right. Yeah, that's my point. The informing and discussing is what's key here, as opposed to how a vote is taken or how a decision is ultimately made. So maybe that's the way we draft it. Like part of the good faith is informing and discussing in whatever way the SOAC feels is appropriate. Is that a better way of saying that?
Probably. What I'm saying is if we're ever going to exercise any of the powers, we need to put some procedures in place, but we haven't yet.
Right. Is that something you think we should be raising to the plenary right now?
It's not one of the workstream two issues.
I know, but it's an issue. Right? And where else are we going to raise it?
Well, wearing another hat, we're in the process of trying to coordinate some ACSO chairs actions related to review teams. And it's become quite clear that without someone formally designated as the person holding the whip or whatever, things slip. Things don't happen. So I think we have a generic problem in coordination of ACSOs. Applies to the empowered community, but it's not unique to it.
Okay. Well, that's good to know because, again, we could take out the C and the D as drafted, but just draft a general principle since we're heading towards general umbrella principles anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a way to solve that drafting issue.
Anyway, I think these are all nits. I think you've got a good start.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments, questions, or thoughts? Yeah, I don't see any other hands. Can I at least get a sense of, do you think we're here, we're at least almost at the finish line with this? pending some more tweaks based on the conversation Alan and I have just been engaged in. I mean, where do you all think we are? Cheryl, I see your hand.
Laurie, Cheryl here. Yeah. I'm extraordinarily busy after having already had 5 hours of call and it being, you know, almost 6:30 a.m. in my world. Forgive me if I don't put my hand up. I would have said something if I disagreed with anything Alan said, as you may imagine, and I haven't. I think I do agree. I wasn't too fussed whether we left those other things in, but I do see Alan's point, so I'm happy to have them removed. I'm certainly, as I think it was indicated, in favour of the In Good Faith edition. But I think, you know, this is looking pretty darn good, actually.
Oh, good. I like that. I'll take pretty darn good. What about Aubrey? I'm going to call Aubrey out. Or not. It's okay. So
this is Aubrey. I found my microphone, but I did not hear the question.
Oh, okay. I was just asking the group generally, based on the conversation that Alan and I had, just have been the back and forth we had, and the state of the draft. I realize you've just seen the draft for the first time now, but do you have a general sense of where you think we are on the meter with this part of our cast? Not the report, obviously, but the guidelines themselves. You know, do you think we're 75% there, 80% there, halfway there? I'm just trying to get a gauge with how much more work you think we need to be doing on the actual wordsmithing of the guidelines.
I'd say we're probably about half.
Half, okay. Do you mind?
It needs more conversation than it has. It needs more discussion than it has had, and I guess, and like others have said, it needs people to spend a little bit more time focusing on it. So, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So what I'm going to ask people to do, I know you're really busy and involved in a lot of groups, but since we're on the fast track to publication with this, as our report due in a little over a month, is that I would ask that you would concentrate on this before Christmas. We still have another week before Christmas. If people would, this has been posted or it will be posted in Google Docs. There's a Google Docs version of this. I did update it, although this is a Word version. There's a pretty identical copy on the Google Docs. And I would ask that you either put some comments in Google Docs, send some comments to the list, or you're welcome to take this version. I can send it out over the list in Word form and redline it. I don't care how it's done. I will aggregate everything that people reply to me with, but I think we really need to step on it. And if we have this, at least more thoughts, more comments by Christmas, I can, during the Christmas break, put the report together with as close to as what we think a reasonable version of this is, and I can start vetting with the plenary. And with ICANN Legal, I would like ICANN Legal to look it over for a sense of whether or not we're keeping in line with California standards regarding good faith in this particular situation. The legal team from the CCWG has already vetted our question through ICANN Legal, and they did come back saying that they felt that they could, without a conflict of interest, if you recall from our last call, review this with, you know, in an objective way, and I agree. I think this is about protecting the whole organization, and I don't necessarily see a conflict with ICANN Legal, at least looking in and weighing in, certainly not making decisions about the guidelines, but just providing their own expertise.
Laurie, Cheryl here again,
sure.
Forgive the lack of hand. I'm happy with that way forward. And you'll get a lot more out of me next week than you will do for the rest of this week. So I'm certainly also a preference to a Google Doc. But if it's possible to actually do one of those linked invites so it actually lands separately from list as well, it just that's going to, as I trawl through the hundreds of emails that come in each day, that's going to get my attention and make me, you know, get it out of the to-do and the actual done list.
All right, Yvette, could you please send the link around to the list, and actually in the heading say guidelines link, so people know it's that the email. That would be really
helpful.
Lauren.
Sure, we'll go ahead and do that. I also just posted the link in the chat. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm officially on leave as of the 20th, but I'm going to be working during my leave. I just won't be having phone calls, which not having phone calls I think is an awesome vacation. Because I'm with Cheryl. This is like hour number 5 for me today as well. And what I would propose that I wanted to add, so I think for today's chat, unless anybody has any other comments that they're thinking of in the next few minutes, we probably are done discussing the draft. So I did want to ask if the group, we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday. I am inclined to cancel it, but I wanted to take the temperature of the group. If you agree with me, or would people like to meet on the 21st to get the last iteration of this before the holidays? I'm open to either way. Oh, can I have a show of hands who would like me to cancel?
Yes, yes, yes. Cancel.
Okay. All right. So we're going to cancel next week's call. But I'm canceling it on the condition that you guys are going to do your homework, okay? It's really important. So far, the only written comment I've gotten on that document is from Sam, and I did incorporate his comments into this draft. And, of course, Alan's been very vocal on the call. But people who haven't been as vocal or haven't contributed to the Google Doc, I'm asking you specifically, so please do so before Christmas. That would be very helpful to the effort.
Laurie, the hour, Cheryl here, the hour that I gain back by us canceling the call will be when I get to do this work.
All right. Fabulous. Fabulous. I have no problems giving back time. I'm all about it. So no
thanks,
problem.
Terrific.
That's okay. Well, then, we're at the half-hour mark, or not quite at the half-hour mark, even with my fiddling. But I feel like, we've moved forward a bit in this call. I'm going to ask anybody now if you want to raise any other comments, questions, or concerns, to please do so. And if not, I'll adjourn the call and wish everybody a wonderful holiday. Alan, is that your hand, or is that a yes to canceling next week's call?
That was the check to cancel the call.
Cool.
I will put it down, and I will put down my hand.
Ori.
All right.
Bernie's hand is up.
Yes.
Sorry, Lori. Bernie's hand is up.
Oh, yes, Bernie. Please go ahead.
just a note from... process and procedures. The document is looking very nice. One of the thoughts I had when I was reading it is, given various SOs and ACs may have different internal rules for how to deal with this, you may want to include in the various sections of the document that SO or AC should list its procedures that it's following in going through this. Just a thought.
I understand. So it's a disclosure. That goes to the transparency issue, right?
Well, this is going to be looked at by many groups, and, it's not always – other groups are not always aware of the policies and procedures that are being followed in another group. Or if someone is just this as a petition, and the groups do have the possibility to change their operating procedures themselves sometimes. So it's just good, and sometimes just from a historical perspective, that if you're writing this stuff down, that you refer to which version of the rules you're using to do this.
Right. I think that's a very good suggestion, Bernie. Thank you. Alan,
so,
I think you're next, or Cheryl.
Appendix? Sorry, do you mean as appendix, or?
That's up to the group to decide, but I think as a minimum, it should reference which rules it's using and which requirements it's meeting in doing this.
I'm all for footnotes and appendix and keeping the actual doc as lean as possible.
Yeah, it's Alan. I'm not sure what Bernie's asking. I mean, At Large has a set of rules. We modify them periodically. It's fine to say we should do things in accordance with our then current rules and procedures, but I don't putting down what version we're using today doesn't say anything about what version we're going to be using 5 years from now when we invoke this procedure. All we can really say is whatever we do has to be done in accordance with our rules and procedures. The ALAC, for instance, has chosen for any of its actions on the power community to be very terse in its rules and procedure, and simply saying we use our standard processes for, you know, making decisions and things like that. The voting threshold is different, but the process is the same. So I don't think our document for this group should be any more specific than that.
But, you know,
Alan, if I can clarify?
Sure.
What I was saying is that there should be a note in this document that whenever an SO and AC is following through this process, that in that document that they're creating at that time within the SO and AC to remove a director, that they quote the rules they're using at that point, not for this document for every SO and AC, but simply a reference in this document that when the SO and AC is going to go through this process, based in this document, that they should take time to note what the processes are at that point.
But
shouldn't
that be true for exercising any empowered community power?
Absolutely.
So again, it comes back to we've set up the bylaws, but we haven't set up any procedures for overall coordination of these kind of things, or what the documentation should look like for any of the processes, and this is just one of them.
This is Lori. So should this take more than a form of a recommendation in a report rather than an actual footnote to the guidelines? I mean, we could note this absence of procedure and we strongly recommend implementation, or within our own guidelines, we could put an annotation saying for it to be a best practice that we would recommend that the decision-making body is the SO or AC, have their procedures posted at that time to make it head to a point in time rather than overly generalized.
Yeah, I think we've identified a generic issue that we have to address on a global scale for all of the powers. That somewhere along the way the CCWG or someone needs to address.
Okay. Well, I think we should definitely include it in the report, and we could figure out if there's a place to annotate the guidelines, if it makes sense there too. That's what I would say about that. This is the 50% not done, to Aubrey's point, about having more discussions about this. Any other questions or comments?
Well, I have a question for you, Lori. You said that you were going to start filling out the template for our formal report to the CCWG. What's your timeline on that?
Honestly, I'm doing it during my break. I'd like to have a draft done before New Year's because it's due in 3 weeks from then, you know. But I'm taking time off from my day job, but doesn't mean I'm taking time off from my can. So it's the only time I have to write the report, so that's what it's going to happen.
That's fine. I wasn't pressing you. I just wanted to know what your timeline was looking
like. And I also did say to the leadership group that I think it's important. I know they have these deadlines and why they have them, but many of the community leaders have been on the road nonstop for the last month between IGF and ICANN and some different meetings in between. I know that many of the active community members haven't really been home. So, I'm going to try my best, but I also need some time to recover from being on the road as long as I have been. So, I'm just being very vocal about it because I know we all try to be troopers, but, you know, you do hit a point, particularly around the holidays, where it is important to take a break. So, I'll do the best I can. If I saw Alan in Mexico and Aubrey and others. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
All good from my point of view. I noted, Bernie, we should make sure we capture the chat and turn it into some sort of notes as well, because we've had a few decent interactions there.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think Yvette is keeping track of that. And then, as I said, I think that piece of the conversation regarding procedures, even if it's not something we include in a draft of the guidelines, we should absolutely note in our report. Okay, well then hearing no other comments, seeing no other hands, or I'm going to say happy, happy, merry, merry. This has been incredibly interesting this fall, and I thank everybody for their participation. And I hope you get some measure of peace during the season of peace and good tidings, and I wish you all a happy new year.
Thank you very much, Laurie. We promise we'll do our homework, and the season's greetings to all of you.
Yeah, do your homework. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.